Welcome to the Wager Makers Podcast with Webb and Schmidt.
Brick by brick, baby. I'm freaking out, Webb.
I'm told there'd be no man.
Stupidity is going to be an asset.
What a bunch of crybabies.
Hello, my name is Steve Smith, and this is Rob Weber. Say hey, Webb.
Hello, hello. What's up, Smith?
What up, buddy? I'm Smith. That's Webb, and we are the Wager Makers, and this is the Wager Maker Podcast. Thank you all for joining us. This is already Wager Maker Podcast number 36, man. It's flying by, Webb. What's happening?
36. This is an easier number, 36. Obviously, the first, everyone, the only 36, maybe Jerome Bettis comes to mind. But I'm hearkening back to our baseball cheating days. I'm going to bring up Gaylord Perry, the old spitball Vaseline master. Pitched for, what did he pitch for, 35 years, it seemed like. Another 36, who, I don't know how. I remember that I did research it, but I did think that was, I'd research it to confirm my thinking that he was 36. So that's our picks.
Easy, that was a pretty easy one. I mean, the first one that comes to mind without researching is the bus.
Right.
Dude had a great career, Notre Dame to the Rams, and then great years at the Steelers. Went out on top, won a Super Bowl in his hometown near Detroit. So obviously the bus for the Steelers, great player, Jerome Bettis, number 36. Not, we're running out of some of these numbers have a little less.
Yeah,
the 33s and 34s and 32s was you had to kind of think about it a little
it's
bit, but off the top of my head, there wasn't too many 36s that I could think of.
It's tough. Yeah. 37. I got a couple I can throw too. It's live. It's pulling back to the old, the glory days of Major League Baseball. We might be hearing some names from back then.
Yeah, because even with all the cheating scandals, a lot of stuff's coming out too lately about pitchers using substances on balls and doing different things.
Exactly.
Necro was one of the guys, you know, with the old knuckleballer guy. He's probably pretty good. He probably had some sandpaper, some Vaseline hidden on his trousers there, on his cap, stuff like that. Good old baseball stuff.
That's right. Yeah, you don't hear anybody bitching and crying saying he was cheating really then. It's funny. I remember him kind of pitching around his belly and Gaylord Perry I'm talking about. And I saw, I think Bartolo Colon just signed with some league in the Mexican league. I think I saw something pop up. And he's got to be damn near as old as us. I don't know how that motherfucker's been pitching. He's got whatever juice he's on. He needs to market that shit because that is some good. I mean, he was in that Major League Baseball pitching at 40, early 40s.
Right.
Crazy.
Colon was a 20-something-year-old pitcher when we were 20-something.
47 years old.
Yep, 47. Yep.
He's 47. Unbelievable.
So you do what you got to do, man. I'll go pitch overseas if they'll let me. Why not?
I ain't mad at him. 247 and 188 in 565 games in MLB. 552 as a starter. He started in Cleveland in 1997. Wow.
All right, so we're going to start the show. I want to get this out of the way real quick. Sorry, this is coming out to you Saturday morning. Hopefully I get this thing cleaned up and edited and out by Saturday afternoon. It's Mardi Gras time here in New Orleans, Webb, so that we're going to, might have a little bit of weird times and weird dates and stuff like that going on. I'm going to apologize ahead of time for any noises you hear in the background or anything like that. I don't know if people know, like, where we're at. This isn't exactly a studio going on here. Sharon rides in Pygmalion. Sharon rides in a Pygmalion parade tonight. And so any minute now, there could be any number of things from coffee to glitter to beads to wigs flying around me as my wife gets ready for her parade this evening. So if you hear any crazy stuff going on in the background, that's what it is. She rides, if you're in New Orleans, she rides in Pygmalion tonight. And she'll be on the first float behind the court or whatever. And she'll be on the downside, driver's side, number one. And then she rides in Knicks on Wednesday night. If anybody's out there looking for Knicks, I'm not sure where that. I don't want to. But if you hear any crazy stuff, there's all kinds of beads and glitter and shit flying around here right now. So that's what that'll be. If you know what a house looks like during Mardi Gras season around here, there's a lot of shit. I'm going
to. Let me jump in. First of all, Mardi Gras, it's great, great stuff. A lot of memories, or should I say lack of memories from back in the day down there. But the Wednesday thing was my fault. We usually try to do our Wednesday thing. I'm going to definitely apologize to Mike Lynch, too. He's we have to talk about our intern opening up internship lately. Lynch is very, very interested in it. He was ready to come in for some trivia and some other stuff. And I had some stuff going on here, some work-related issues, and some stuff came up. So my fault. Smith's doing his best to juggle everything down there, and I kind of dropped the ball a little bit on Wednesday. So that one's on Web for sure.
It's all good. Anyway, but it might be the next couple of shows might be at weird times of days because with everything going on. But okay, speaking of that, though, Mike Lynch. So we got some great, we have some great, great listeners. So we've had a lot of people that we were like claim to be our number one fan. We've talked a lot about the internship. We talked about Nick Perrone and Chad Arnold. You said Mike Lynch. I want to give a shout out to Chris Gargiul, mm-hmm, Brad yep. Bohannon, Stephen Doe, Marty Johnson, and Howard Smith. They're all very active on our Facebook. Obviously, Scott Wheatley. He's done a lot of stuff with us already with the horse racing and everything. Don't forget, check out our Facebook page. He's got his picks for today's fairgrounds races, and he's going to have more stuff. And we're going to have him on the show when it gets a little closer to the Kentucky Derby to get his take on everything because he's following everything really closely. But to get into this, so our number one fan slash intern, we've decided to have a competition. We're going to have these guys. We picked out if anybody thinks – we picked so far, we picked out Chad Arnold, Nick Perrone, and Mike Lynch is the three finalists to be in our intern slash number one fan competition. And we're going to have a trivia competition. It might not be on our next show, but one show coming soon. And it's going to be all Wager Makers trivia, whether, you know, we might give a lot of hints to some of the questions on today's show and the next show or two. You know, maybe if we have some nicknames for certain players, certain numbered episodes that we did certain things. You might want to listen to those and get brush up on your Wager Makers trivia. And if you think you belong in the top three and to be on the trivia competition, just send us a message. Let us know, hey, man, I listen to this thing all the time. I chime in. I talk on Facebook. I talk on the Twitter. And I deserve to be the intern. Just so you know, there's no pay.
That's right.
Exactly. No competition. No, there's no compensation. There's no perks. Right. You just get the label of the number one fan and intern. But you do get to set up. I think I finally convinced Webb this week. Got tired of relaying messages from him to Chan Arnold, to him to Nick Perrone from Twitter and Facebook. So you get to help Webb set up his social media presence. He's going to be Wager Maker Webb on social media. Just, I don't know, I think he's in hiding. Some of the, you know, these gamblers, they've been around for a long time. They don't want to be out there on social media. I don't know, he's got something to, he might have something to hide. Some women,
I'm still hiding.
He doesn't want tracking them down from back in the day or something. I don't know what's going on, but.
All the above.
Right. So that's what you
all
get.
The
so
above.
So one day soon, but for those that are going to be in the competition, make sure you keep listening because we're going to be sending out some, you're going to hear some of the things that we say, and you might want to go back and listen to some old episodes and brush up on your Wager Makers trivia.
Couple things, but let me jump piggyback off that. Very, very funny thing Nick Perrone sent in about we were talking about the XFL and how happy he was there was no New Orleans contendant, you know, no New Orleans team in there, so at least we could discuss the other teams in the league, which was pretty funny. The other thing was I think Chad sent it in about what's the thoughts on this Major League Baseball cheating, tipping off pitches, and my response is if you're the man, I'm going to tell you what I'm throwing. You can hit it. You can hit it. So I'm a little more lenient on this situation. I don't, obviously I'm not advocating for any systematic or organizational cheating. We can lead into this later too, but if you're tipping pitches or if the batter knows when a pitch coming, it's still very, very difficult to hit it and even harder to hit it where they ain't. And I think that's my reply with something along those lines, but that's kind of where we stand. And thank you both for those, you know, for hitting us up.
Right. Well, number one, Chad Arnold wanted to say, first of all, he's a Red Sox fan, so we're going to go right off the bat and say
he's a
Louisiana Red Sox fan. It's like the worst kind. You got to just pick him up because they like to root against the Yankees and shit like that. So he wanted to bring up, you know, how many World Series did the Yankees win with you know, like Pettit and A-Rod and stuff like that. You know, he was talking about the steroids, and all I said was, man,
again,
everybody was doing this shit at that point. Don't think anybody on the Red Sox was juicing up? Come on, man. Come on, dude. You know, so, and there's no problem with stealing signs. I just have a problem. I think there's different types of cheating. Using modern technology to do the cheating is a whole different ballgame. If somebody's putting out signs, you have all the right to do what you can while you're standing out there and picking up signs and stealing them. That's just part of the game.
Using gamesmanship,
buzzers and TV screens and the like and telephones and shit like that. That's a little different story. As far as Nick Perrone goes listen, man, I can't help it. The Saints were 13-3 this year. LSU wins the national championship. I mean, the teams down here are kicking ass. If maybe we should talk about the Jets every week. We'll be a big conversation.
You guys doing that.
We'll have a big ass conversation over who's going to get the number one draft pick next year. Every week. Oh man, if we lose again this week, we'll get the number one draft pick. We're gonna be like every week during the season. Maybe we'll talk about next year's draft pick and see what we can get.
Yeah, But I mean, they're not as whiny as the typical Saints fans, though, Smith. I got to stick
I'm not sticking up for the Saints fans. They're whiny. There's some whiny bastards. LSU, Saints, there's some whiny-ass motherfuckers.
And another thing that just came to mind, the intern, another responsibility. We're going to brush up on my resume. I will be applying for the vice president of sports betting for the NFL. So that's another thing we got to start reaching out to some contacts, do some social, some LinkedIn stuff maybe, and see what we could get going on with getting one of the wager makers in the NFL front office there.
Yeah, I saw they just made a hire. The first time NFL has done something like that, the head of, what is it called? The head of sports gambling or something?
I think it's vice president of sports gambling. Yeah.
Who's the president? Yeah, so he reports
right
to Goodell, I guess.
Yeah, but the president is the dude from Goodfellas, Sonny.
Right. So, I mean, I think, this is something you could do. This definitely, the intern will be responsible for getting a resume, maybe sending us our shows to radio stations, different things, getting us out there. That reminds me, too. I think we should start just practicing our endorsements. I think we're going to sit in here and start drinking a beer while we're on the show and talk about the different types of beer, what it is, and practice our endorsement.
Yeah, I agree.
Less filling, tastes great, back old school, we'll be one or the other.
We
should start practicing that kind of stuff. And hey, we can be bought, folks. If you want to trade us some t-shirts, trade us some hats, do whatever. But this would be the kind of interns we get. Most guys get like some hot chicks straight out of college to come into the office and do some stuff. We got Mike Lynch, Nick Perrone, and Chad Arnold fighting.
50-year-old men.
Yeah. There's our groupies.
Yeah,
groupies. Yeah. So this would be like just like the interns I would get. This figures. All right, moving on. So Webb, there was a lot of talk this week. Your boys are in the news with the GOAT. Chad Arnold asked us a question this week on Facebook about what your thoughts are about some of the rumors about Tom Brady going to the Cowboys, and maybe even what you think about Dak Prescott moving on and who would be better replacements. What do you think about that?
First of all, it was a lock. I was talking to Jerry Jones, for you guys who don't know who that is. That was going to happen. It seems Brady's getting a little pricey on his demand. So I don't know so much about Brady coming these days, coming this way or that way. I'm probably the biggest advocate of trading Dak Prescott. If you're going to get, I don't know, what is it, the third, fourth, fifth, sixth pick in the NFL draft for Dak Prescott, you absolutely trade him in a heartbeat. Then you turn around and sign, Amari Cooper. You sign, who am I thinking? Robert Quinn. You sign Byron Jones. So that's a defensive end, your receiver, and then your corner. I'm not the biggest Byron Jones fans either, but he has been an all pro the past two seasons, or it's all star in the second team all pro last year and second team all pro this year. You do get a quarter, you can draft a quarterback, possibly draft Tua or whoever it would be, Justin Herbert, if you want. If not, hold on to the pick. I think you're going to see some other quarterbacks coming free. Oh, another caveat is that would allow you to trade, give you some ammunition to trade, and also free up cap room to trade for Jamal Adams from the Jets. If you don't want to do that, you can stockpile your picks, trade all those number one picks, your number ones for next year, that the bounty you get from whoever, the Chargers or the Dolphins, and then you draft Trevor Lawrence next year. So that's everything's easy. It's all coming together if you get rid of Prescott and his ridiculous $35 or $40 million man demands, which to me is getting to the point where it's insulting. At 8-8 quarterback wants $40 million. The other thing that I think is very interesting, I saw that Brady may go to Oakland, which I think would be ideal, because then Derek Carr could come slide right in, a change of scenery, work with McCarthy as a quarterback's guru. This kid has already got his $100 million deal. We could pay him somewhere that's, you know, insanely, as we call it, cheap, you know, in a $20 million range, something like that. And that still allow you to use those picks again, those bounty of picks you'd get for trading Prescott for. If you want to draft two, or redshirt him, see if he's any, or if you wanted to somehow parlay that into a Chase Young situation, or again, save those picks for next year, see where we're at, and make a huge Trevor Lawrence push or something along those lines. But I am all for trading not only Dak Prescott, any and every other player on the Dallas Cowboys, period, the end.
What about I see some reports today that Oakland's even offering Tom Brady 2 years, $30 million a year. Would you be in favor of JJ going after Tom Brady for that kind of money?
In the scenario where we're going to have the number four or five pick, absolutely. Yes, no doubt. 2 years, I'd give him 2 years with the team, make this team as strong as possible, still draft. You know, like I said, go out, get Jamal Adams, lock up these guys that we're looking at, use that pick to, you know, to draft your quarterback future, like I said, Tua or Herbert or whoever they see, or even maybe you can, maybe not even draft, maybe not even do that, see what's out there. And that's a tremendous amount of money to free up if Prescott's not there, and a tremendous amount of capital in draft and players. They're talking about two number ones and a starter, the number one this year, number one next year, and a starting player. That to me is, or maybe even three number ones. And to me, that is almost, you can't pass it up. That's back to the Herschel Walker days. That's unbelievable. And, you know, I'm not bashing Prescott. There's no way no one's worth $40 million, period, at all for anything. But that, not this dude. I would have, you know, I'm comfortable with him at, you know, I didn't even want to pay him $30 million. But again, that's come and gone. So if you can get him for that $30 million number and free up some cap space, still get Cooper done. Do something with the cornerback position, either keep Jones and then keep Robert Quinn. I think that's the win that the Dallas front office is looking for. But you're going to give me Tom Brady at 2 years with our offensive line, our receivers. You know, as long as McCarthy, the head coach, is behind that 110%, I'm all for it for sure. I think that is, you're better than you were with Prescott.
All right. So Tom Brady, it'll be interesting to see Tom Brady with the Cowboys. I'm interested to see Tom Brady.
You want
with
to talk about a circus.
Holy with anyone. Shit. I'm interested to see Tom Brady with anyone but Belichick, and just see how, where it goes. See if he can see how well he plays, see how the team does, stuff like that. So that'd be cool. A lot of rumors going around the NFL. Obviously, Philip Rivers has been let go by San Diego. A lot of quarterbacks out there. This offseason seems like it's going to be a lot of things going on. And when you mentioned the Saints fan base, a lot of speculation down here, a lot of crying, a lot of crazy shit going on. So Taysom Hill comes out this week and says, look, I think I'm a franchise type quarterback. I want to I want to get paid and deserve like one. If it's not with the Saints, then whoever decides to do that, I'm happy to do that. Oh, the Saints fan base chat.
Here we go again.
Oh, boy. He was everybody's favorite guy in the world last week. Taysom Hill. Until he comes out and says, okay, I'm everybody's favorite guy. Well, I believe I'm that guy, too.
Pay me. That's good, fellas.
So I don't know who has more crushes on Taysom Hill, the Saints fan men or the Saints fan women. All of a sudden, everybody was raising hell. So we got this situation here. Drew Brees is kind of in limbo. We're not sure what he's going to do. Obviously, Teddy Bridgewater went 5-0 as a starter this year. He's going to demand. He kind of took a little less money this past year just to be set up like this. I think he made $7 million for a one-year deal last year just to be set up the way he is right now, where now he's the backup quarterback that went 5-0. And so now he's going to get from somebody his $25 million a year probably.
I am not hearing that. Our wager makers insider are not saying that. I'm hearing the $15 million range, you know, a bunch per on, you know, on an annual basis, but a bunch of money, you know, guaranteed, but nothing in the 25. That's what we're hearing anyways. And we're also hearing his name mentioned with the Brady, up in New England as well. So that's interesting. He did himself a great justice in going 5-0. He did catch some breaks there, I think, but I mean, good for him. I don't know. I mean, he may be. I don't know why he wouldn't consider just staying where he was. He's got some familiarity with the system and Sean Payton. Obviously, some affinity with the Saints faithful going 5-0. And the Taysom Hill thing is, what's he supposed to say? I would have said the same damn thing. You know, right. Yeah, pay me. I want my $40 million too. Why wouldn't he say that?
Right. So, everybody wants him to stick around, but everybody wants him to stick around as this guy that runs back that's on the special teams. Right. You know, it's not the same. You know, it's not the same thing. But Teddy's name has come up with a lot of people. He's come up with, if you talk about New England, he's come up with the Bears. Come up with the Carolina Panthers. A bunch of people. I think he's going to get money. But if the number's $15 million, man, I might even change my opinion about the situation. I was thinking, basically, my take on the situation was this. Everybody calm your jets about Taysom Hill. Nobody right now is going to pay him franchise quarterback type money. Okay? So my thing was, you let Teddy B go, but in my opinion, he should get starter money. He should get 20, maybe 20. He should get 20 because he's 5-0. He's been a starter. He was a top draft pick, first round draft pick. Obviously, he had the big injury, but he's shown that he can come back. But I don't think the Saints.
Did he take Minnesota to the playoffs too? I think he did, right?
Yes, for his rookie year. His rookie year.
He should. I mean, he gets he's a little disrespected, I guess it seems like at this point.
Right. So, and he's come out, like he said, so he had a really cool tweet or something this week that was talking about, you know, young kids lifting yourself up. If you've been that hungry kid or the kid that was disrespected when you were young and a poor household, you know, I've been there and keep like my big long thing. I posted it on our Facebook page, but this guy's a quality guy. There's no questions about his off the field background and any of that kind of stuff. I mean, this guy's a quality guy. If he was $15 million, I'd sell the Saints to sign him right now. But I had in mind the number one franchise type guy money, $20-25 million. But when I was saying that, my opinion for the situation should be this: that the Saints should lock up Taysom Hill for $10-12 million. That's what I think he deserves. I think you can get him for 5 years for that money. I don't think anybody's paying him $20 million to play quarterback for their team at this point.
Not right
after
now.
Seeing him
Hell
do
no.
anything.
There's no scenario that's happening.
Right. So in that way, if Breeze decides to stay for one more year for his 25 or whatever he gets, you'll still have Taysom Hill there for 5 more years. And at that point, you'll have a quarterback on the cheap. If Drew Breeze leaves, you got your quarterback of the future right now. You got the offensive mastermind head coach to build your offense around him, just like they did Lamar. Instead of trying to make him a pocket passer or whatever, you can let him do what he does and build the offense around him like they did Lamar Jackson in Baltimore, and let your offensive mastermind have a whole new project to work with and move forward that way. And you have all this extra Drew Brees money to build pieces around him, whether that be running backs or guys on the defense, offensive linemen, whatever that need be. But that was my thoughts going forward. If Teddy B is only getting 15, man, that changes things a little bit. But we'll see how it plays out. All I'm saying is, as usual, I'm saying Saints fans, calm down. We'll find out what's going to happen. One of these guys will be playing quarterback next year for the Saints. If it's not Drew Brees, obviously it's going to be an adjustment. Well, I mean,
somebody's going to be playing quarterback.
Drew Brees is our security blanket around here. You know,
your blanket's not too secure. You guys are sleeping in the cold the past 3 fucking years because she fucking threw the interception again in that game. You're still crying about. And he couldn't throw the ball 15 yards down the field at the playoffs last year. So you're better off. If you're going to move on, first of all, with your scenario, a couple things have to happen. Taysom Hill has to, he just told you he wanted starter money. So now why would he sign for less than starter money? Second of all, Drew Brees, that's got to be a significant pay cut for him, right?
Well, I think he's doing like 25. I think he's in the 25 range right now.
Well, that's the first, that if he's going to take 25, that's what's going to happen. He's going to come back for $25 million. But also, the same insiders are telling me Teddy's getting 15 or saying all these guys, Rivers, Brady, not so much Brady, Rivers and Breeze in particular, he mentioned, were just just floored by the amount of money Tony Romo is getting for, you know, not taking any hits, any OTAs, any of that type stuff, like, you know, and he's beloved. He was, you know, he's a kind of a butt of a joke, especially around here with Giant fans. Now he's, you know, everyone loves him. So that's the other thing that I was kind of hearing too. But I think if Drew Brees is going to stay at, you know, 20, you know, you listen around the league and everyone's saying Cam Newton is going to be a great pick because he's only going to make 20, you know, pick up or whatever it is. He's only making $21 million. So, you know, if you're going to get Drew Brees, like I said, he's, you're going to get to the playoffs and then, you know, and then hopefully the luck will change there a little bit. But if he's going to settle for 25 million, not rock the boat, you could do something with Taysom Hill to stay there. That's an obvious, you know, I think that's a great scenario. I just don't know there's a lot of moving parts and people are going to check some egos there.
Right. Well, my point is Taysom Hill can say he wants starting franchise quarterback money all he wants. That, like, I think if they bump him up to like a really good backup quarterback type money, that's a pretty big adjustment. And the Saints, as far as Taysom goes, he's a restricted free agent too. So the Saints will have a chance to see what other people are offering before they decide whether or not to sign him or not. They'll have an opportunity.
Oh, well, that's the biggest part of this. Yeah, let him go. Go ahead. Go see. See what you can get. If you're going to give you $25 million, knock yourself out. But if not,
and I think they put what they call I'm not a contract expert. They put what they call it like a first round tender on him. If they don't sign, you know, match the offer he gets, they get a first round draft pick from the.
Then it's getting even more from
a guy that they signed off the practice squad from Green Bay 5 years ago that plays on a special team. So
right, it's getting even more and more.
Right.
Yeah. Ridiculous.
All right. So. All right, that's cool. Moving on, so we'll stay in the NFL real quick. This week in the Antonio Brown saga. He comes out and comes clean, man. He apologizes to the NFL, apologizes to Big Ben, says he doesn't know how good he had it. Nothing's ever been as good as he was when he was with Big Ben. What do you think about Antonio Brown this week?
You know what? I have a couple daughters. So back in the day, I watched a movie with my older one, Lex. It was How to Lose a Guy in 10 Days or something like that was the name of this movie. Matthew McConaughey was in it, I believe. This, what we're watching here was this is an Academy Award performance. Academy Award director, Academy Award actor, Academy Award writer on how to lose and fuck up damn close to a Hall of Fame NFL career in what was it? What's it been? 10 months? Has it been a full calendar year? I don't know. It's been since we started. So it's been, I guess, our 36th podcast. He's been acting a fool. His best thing is just to go and sign with Merck or something and do some type of Prozac commercial. Like, I started taking my pills and now I'm back. I realize but he is, there's this dude, this is almost, you know, this is, you could almost cry. This is sad what happened to this, but it is an absolute textbook clinic on how to fuck yourself out of $100 million.
Yeah. If you think about it, it's been way less than a year because he even played played a game with New England. That was probably the third, fourth, fifth game of the season or something like that by the time he was in New England. So, that was probably October. I'm guessing off the top of my head that he probably had played in the game. So it's only a couple months.
So, I mean, what is his, what's the motive for this? What's the win here? What's going to happen? He's Pittsburgh's going to go, oh shit. All right.
He's hoping I think he thinks sucking up the Big Ben is his last resort now. You know what I mean? Like there's nothing else I can do than to have Big Ben go into the office for me and say, hey, you know, I'd play with this guy again.
Yeah.
That's his only hope because nobody will touch this guy with a 10-foot pole. Why would you?
Jeez, that's Michael Vick went to jail for killing dogs and came back and played, right? I mean, come on.
Right.
Yeah, I don't know. That's, you know, then that just leads into the other, you know, Big Ben. He's got his own issues, I think. You see, he's on the Oprah Weight Watchers plan. The dude's on weight. He's gaining more weight.
I'll tell you, again, they showed up.
Tells he looks bigger than the left guard. He's bigger than David, what's his name? David DeCastro, whatever the left guard. He's bigger than Pouncey. Bigger than the center.
They showed a picture of him on a sideline. I think it was one of the last games in the NFL this season. They didn't make the playoffs, so it might have been week 16, week 17. Man, he had a beard. He looked like he could sit right with the Steelers faithful.
Yeah, exactly.
Drink beers and eat wings all day long and eat bratwurst all day long.
He looked like he belonged in the dog pound. The Cleveland Browns, dude, the beard is doing him no favors. Shave the beard and wear some black.
I think when I saw him, I really thought I was like, when I saw him that time, I was like, he's not coming back ever. He's not. He's done. He's decided football is not for me anymore.
Decision.
So we'll see. We'll see what turns out with that.
Another interesting thing from Cowboy Nation, Smith. I don't know if you saw Dez Bryant is doing his best. You know, doing his mea culpa is his best groveling at the feet of Stephen Jones here. And then he's got guys even saying they'd like him back in the locker room. I think even Michael Irvin came out and said it would be something that would happen. And now the latest thing is he's going to play tight end. He's willing to do what he'll take Jason Witten's spot, play the mentor role that Witt played and do the needed blocking and just run some red zone routes. Just to come back to the family. So,
listen, man,
and it's funny. I'm all for it. I was never Dez. I don't have any Dez. It looks like Dez had a lot of issues with Linehan and Jason Garrett, which, I mean, obviously that situation played itself out. And it does make some sense that they were real good between. That's what I tell all my Giant friends, my boss, a Giant, Giant fan. I'm telling you here in the LSU faithful with Linehan and Jason Garrett, get a good kicker because you're going to be real good between the 20s and you are going to lay up for a field goal every fucking time. So,
oh, no.
A lot of threes, baby.
Yeah,
a lot of threes.
Coach O found his replacement for Brady a couple days ago. Linehan, your old boy. You're not a fan, Webb?
No, not really. I mean, I'm not blaming everything on that landed as his feet, but it's mind-numbing things. And again, very good between the 20s, and then it was the same old. I could call the play anytime we got inside the 20, and if I could do it, I'm sure a defensive coordinator in the NFC East could do it. So no, not a fan. Glad he was gone. I was glad he was gone 2 years ago, and I am glad Jason Garrett is gone as well.
All right. A couple more things. Did you see your boy down there in Tampa, Jameis Winston, got eye surgery this week? So maybe he'll the 30 for 30 man last year, 30 interceptions, 30 touchdowns.
That's what it was. That was, everything's perfect. That's what it was.
Like, is he colorblind? Was he colorblind?
I swear, I'm just sitting here, I'm laughing. You cannot make this fucking shit up. You cannot make it up. Oh, you know what it was? I had bad eyes this whole time.
I better get in for that LASIK thing.
You know what, Smith? It's funny. I tell my kids, if there was LASIK in 1987, I'd be Jensen Verlander. That's what I tell. That's the same thing. That's the same fucking story Jameis Winston's telling his fucking kids. You know what? I could have been.
I think he's telling the coaches that. I think he's telling GMs that. Hey, listen, it was all my eyes. I never knew.
Yeah, I never thought of it. Yeah, right. It's hilarious.
All right.
That's just keep that name in mind, intern wannabes. Hint, yep. Hint.
Jameis Winston. Who did Webb say stupidity is going to be an asset about? Jameis Winston.
It's an asset, right?
Moving
and I was
on.
Wrong. What was Webb wrong about? But that's the other.
His stupidity was definitely a hindrance.
Right.
Okay. Moving on. NFL reinstated Myles Garrett this week after that ugly incident. NFL. I personally think it's been its time. It ran out the rest of the season. It was half the year or so like that. Any thoughts on that?
I agree. I think it's been long enough. It was so long I damn near forgot about it. I think he did. You know, obviously it was an ugly scene. It would have been less if it wasn't on that national game or whatever. But obviously a very dangerous situation. The dude got penalized pretty heavily, which kind of matched the severity of the, you know, the discretion. So I think it's all good. He's still coming out, Smith, claiming that Mason Rudolph used some type of racial slur. That part, if I was him, I would just kind of let that die. You're reinstated into league. You know, keep your, you know, mind you, don't hit anybody with a helmet, and this will eventually go away. You could still go on and have a great career and make a ton of money. What's his name? Cowboys gave Greg Hardy a second chance. The guy had like a 17 guns and threw his girlfriend on him on a bed or something like that. So drop this. If he did say some type of racial slur, that would have been news. Mason Rudolph would have been under the gun. A lot of different things would have happened if that was in fact the case, that he was using some type of racial slur on the field. So I don't buy that part. And again, I would let that go if I was Garrett and just kind of put the whole thing behind him and go get 12 sacks or whatever it is this year.
Right. There's no reason to keep even Tomlin came out today and said, look, I know Mason Rudolph. I have no reason to think that he would said something like that. He said, you know, certainly I would have heard somebody would have mentioned it that night, whether even one of the Steelers players, one of the Browns people would have said it wasn't until like a week or two late, like when Myles Garrett realized how bad he was in for it, that kind of came up. And then they reinstated him the other day and he said, well, just a reminder kind of thing. He did use a racial slur. It's like, dude, just. You're back. Just
let it go. It's not helping.
Let it go, right? So, you know, not to let go if he said it, but just you're back. You should move on.
Well, I mean, you said it. Everyone heard you say it. But, you know.
So yeah, right. Well, it didn't really catch traction the first time.
Right. And if that is the truth, that'll all play out. It's not helping you.
Like I said, in other ones, you know, Mason Rudolph was not innocent in this whole thing either. He came out after the thing and said, man, what kind of crazy shit Garrett did. Well, you ran, the guy got your helmet, you ran after him again after that. And was he supposed to just let you run up on him? Just because you lost the fight doesn't mean you're innocent in the situation. He tried to kick the guy in the balls, everything.
That's not an excuse to beat a guy with an object who's three.
He just happened to have it in his hand. Once shit goes awry, you do what you gotta do. The dude's running up on you. You got a helmet in your hand, you whack him in the head.
Let's take some calls from Rahway State Prison, Smith, to see what the guys do.
I think the NFL's chimed in.
The
NFL's chimed in, and I'm kind of, if it happens on the field, you get away with a lot more than if something happens off the field. In other words, if it's abuse at home, something like that, they're a lot more strict about those things than it's something that happens on the field. Look, that game got a look at what Pouncey did later on and all the stuff that happened. Once things go awry on the field, shit can happen. If you're a quarterback, you're just as ridiculous by running after a dude that's a defensive end that's got your helmet in his hand. Just get your offensive linemen are already trying to come to your defense. You were every bit as out. He was every bit as out of control as Myles Garrett was. He just got his ass kicked. That's the only difference. He just lost the fight. If he runs up on Myles Garrett after the play, 10 seconds after the play, and whoops Myles Garrett's ass, everybody's like, holy shit, that was way after the play. That was ridiculous.
It'd be
but
a
he
lot
lost the fight. If you lose the fight, doesn't mean you're innocent.
if Myles Garrett punched him in his face with his fist, that's a different thing than beating a guy with a helmet.
He just happened to have the helmet in his hand.
Again, let's talk to some guys, some criminals who just, I just happen to have a gun in my waistband. If I didn't have the gun, I wouldn't have shot him.
On the field's different. You don't get a pass because you're a puss. You don't get a pass because the dude whoops your ass. That's it.
I didn't think he pressed charges, did he? I mean,
No.
What did he do? What was Mason Rudolph supposed? He went after a guy who was bigger than him. He didn't say, please suspend this guy.
Oh, he came out. He came out after the thing and was like, acted like he was the calm. Like he was the victim in the entire situation. That's all I'm saying. He was not. He was the victim because he lost.
Well,
that's a victim mentality.
Clearly, the powers that be disagree with you, and I'm going to have to respectfully disagree with you as well.
All right. Well, I'm just saying you're not vindicated because you lost the fight. The guy's not at fault because he won the fight. Once things go awry, the dude's kicking at his balls, everything else, and then he gets hit in the head with goes running after the guy. The guy's got his helmet. He hit him.
Should have been a defense attorney.
You're not off the hook because you lost because you got your ass kicked.
Okay.
That's how I feel about it. I mean, right. Look, Myles Garrett, the whole thing was wrong, but Mason Rudolph is not innocent in the whole situation.
Okay.
All right. That's enough for the NFL. We have the XFL. They had the top four rated viewers sporting events last week in the age range from 18-49. You think this league's really going to catch on this time?
The jury obviously is still out there, but it just tells you two things. People love football and people love to fucking gamble. That's what that tells you. So I think it does have some traction because I don't think it's shying away from the NFL. It's not trying to be a true competitor. I saw an interview with Bob Stoops, I think it was this morning, and they were asking him, obviously he was just kind of openly talking about how this players can use this as a springboard to get to the NFL. They did ask him if he was using some success from here. The game was great. They asked him if he was using this, if he had some success, would he get back into coaching, maybe in NFL or college? He goes, people ask me to come coach all the time.
Right.
So it was hilarious. But I don't think they're shying away from that. They're not shying away from the gambling aspect, which obviously the NFL is no longer doing either, nor the NBA. So, I mean, I think it has a chance. It's pretty much a truncated season. The timing is right for it. Right after the Super Bowl, we're still kind of football happy. The withdrawal football withdrawal kicks right in, and then everything's heated up with free agency and the draft. So it has a chance. I think it's got a bigger financial backing, and I think it's got some, not that people running the other leagues were not smart, but some smarter football people behind it, Oliver Luck in particular.
Yeah,
To me, the
players played hard. It wasn't as ridiculous as the XFL the first time they came around, where it was like championship wrestling.
Right, that was more
stuff.
Wrestling than football, right? This seems to be more football than anything. I mean, they probably play, obviously, but.
I did like how they did the coin tosses in the old XFL. Remember, they had like two guys out in the middle of the field, and they'd roll the ball out in the middle of them, and they would do like a fumble drill to see who got the ball first or whatever. That was pretty fun. So some interesting rule changes. You can go for like a 1-point conversion, a 2-point conversion, or a 3-point conversion, I think it is, from different yard lines. I thought that was pretty cool. Just, I don't think it's something necessarily the NFL has to jump on right away, but just some interesting ways to look at it. They have a different type of kickoff. That makes the guys, I guess, a little safer without them running all the way down the field and still seem to be pretty competitive. And the stuff that if you look, all the teams are basically located a few yards from the returner, and they can't move until the guy gets the ball. So I thought it was pretty, some of those things were pretty cool. Like you said, look, this league embraces gambling and it's football, and that combination is going to go a long way.
They've already said
they're not going to overpay. They're not going to overextend themselves. Kaepernick was looking off all kinds of crazy money, and that would have been a big publicity stunt for him. But they already said, look, we're not paying that kind of money for somebody to come play in this league. It's a good springboard if somebody wants to keep playing. Hey, I watched the other day, Cardale Jones. He was a high guy coming out of college at Ohio State. A lot of good – got some good players out there. Sam Coates. Well, was a receiver for the Steelers for a while.
There's a bunch of guys. Well, there are a handful of guys. Yeah, I mean, even there's guys that you don't even know. And they said some like the skill positions, particularly wide receiver and cornerback, maybe even safety, or have the best chance because you can kind of demonstrate some ball skills and some stuff like that, speed, different, you know, and some shiftiness. So but I got nothing against it. I'm rooting for it. It's cool. I have something else to bet. But like we said, Smith in our text after the game, you lose the same way. Fucking half point here, going for two, yeah. Not getting it. Dude, fuck me on a field goal. Unbelievable.
Right. They had the one over and under, I think, the first game. They came out on the number. On the number.
Again,
in the first ever, ever, you know, XFL game, and the smart guys come out with the over and under, and it was on the number, and I think there was like a missed field goal or something stupid, where they went for the 3-point conversion, right. And didn't get, you know, something ridiculous. Something
it's like going down to the park and seeing 10 dudes playing 5-on-5 and picking the over under, you know, on the number.
Right.
Crazy.
So I guess speaking of which, for Giants fans up there by you. Pepper Johnson was the defensive funny, coordinator for the Los Angeles Wildcats, and he got fired after the first game, Webb.
Love it.
They mean
love
business. It. They mean business in the XFL.
Hey, it's cutthroat. The XFL is cutthroat. And not only that, I think they waived the middle linebacker who was the team captain, like the first guy they took on the team. So I don't know I don't know how that, you know, that 180 happens, but I was in favor of that. That was a funny text for going back. That good. You don't fuck you, pay me. Like they said, you're not going to perform. Obviously, this ain't working. So let's move on. Let's not.
Obviously, the defensive coordinator and the defensive captain did something completely opposite of what the head coach told them to do. So they were out of there.
I wonder if they.
All right,
made
so that
was
fun. There's a couple more games. Couple games today. Couple games tomorrow. And we'll be putting some wagers on those, I'm sure. Moving on to NBA All-Star break. They announced a few guys going into the Hall of Fame. Obviously, Kobe and Tim Duncan and Garnett.
KG. Yep. No
obviously,
brainer.
Really
no
great, brainer. Great players.
Yeah, that's a nice trifecta right there. And obviously with Kobe, that's going to be the crazy induction ceremony. Get your Kleenex out for that one, Smith. There's going to be some stuff going on there.
Zion had a nice night. They had the Newcomers League game last night. I think he had 14 points. Webb, this dude, I've been watching him. He's the real deal. The other night, last week, 28 minutes. He had 31 points and 9 rebounds. Last night, Thursday night against OKC, he had 30. I think he had 32 points. This guy is the real deal, and he's just beginning. I'll tell you right now, I would take him over LB. This might be if you're looking for trivia questions out there. our initials for Anthony Davis are not AD; they're LB for LeBron's bitch.
Yeah.
And I would take Zion over him right now, as is. This dude is a game player. He's a team player. He's a leader. The guys are rallying around him. I don't know if the Saints are going to have enough to make that run for the eighth spot in the West. They're still too far back with the amount of games they have left. But this team is fun to watch. They're beating teams. They're beating good teams. Man, the Pelicans are up and coming. And Zion, I could not be more impressed with Zion on the court.
My only, you know, reticence or deal with Zion is he may get hurt, and he's from Duke. But he's obviously born to play in the NBA. And he's not that big. Was he 6'6"?
6'6", dude.
Yeah.
6'6", and he plays like a monster out there.
He does. He plays much bigger.
His wingspan and his like girth, you know, he's got the body of Charles Barkley.
Yeah.
But more, I think he, you know, just his get up is more than Charles.
More skilled. You know? Yeah. I mean, and Charles was skilled. I mean, right. So, I mean, right. it's interesting.
If you put a smaller guy on him, he'll just back him down. And he's got the moves on the block.
Yeah,
and if you put a big guy on him, he just lays off him. He just cuts down the distance in no time and is by the big guy.
He's so explosive. He's quick, explosive.
His first step, he goes first step from the elbow to the goal in a fraction of a step from the elbow to the goal.
Oh, he's definitely impressive. And they're looking. I think I don't know. It's gonna be stretched for them just because I think Memphis is playing so well. I mean, that's kind of who they're playing there for that last spot. But I mean, either way, it's. I mean, it would be great for the league to have them play the Lakers, but.
Oh, that would be fun.
I don't know.
I don't think. I think they're running out of time, and they lost Thursday night to OKC. Yep. That was an important game. At one point, a couple weeks ago, they were still like 5 games back, but they had to jump over like 4 or 5 teams to get to that point. They're now to the point where they're only 2 teams from that 8th spot, or something like 2 or 3 teams from that 8th spot, but they're still like you say, Memphis is still playing well. So
yeah, John Morant's having a hell of a season too. They're talking if Zion has a chance or enough time to be the rookie of the year. I think if he had obviously played like this from the beginning, that conversation would be over. I don't think he does. I think they'd be smart to continue to limit his minutes for this. You know, it's kind of, if it's not broke, don't fix it type thing. They could get better, obviously, I'm sure, but there's no sense jeopardizing him for the future that it looks like they could have, you know, and especially this year with the way it is in the West, it's, you know, so stacked, so stop heavy with those three or four teams. I think just keep going as it is and see what happens. But I'm rooting for him. I mean, and that's a long time since I've said anything about that about a Duke player. So.
Right. All right. Sounds good. We can move on. NBA is heating up. We'll be getting more into that coming soon. And NCAA, we're only a week or two away, a couple weeks away from conference tournaments and stuff like that. So we'll be getting much more into that. Webb, your North Carolina Tar Heels. What's the story with them this year? They're not looking too good.
It's inexplicable. I can't explain. I don't know how you could fall off a cliff like this. I don't know. I've been pissed at some Cowboy games in the recent past. I don't know that I've been more pissed at North Carolina than I was that other Saturday night against Duke. Just the way they lost the opponent, I was furious, fucking furious for the way that went down. That would have been a season saver for me, regardless of what went on the rest of the year, obviously for me and the rest of the Carolina nation. I don't know. I am dumbfounded by what's happened with them. It's, you know, every team loses these star players. It doesn't matter. You had three guys in the top 15 picked. That happens to Alabama and Clemson football every year. It happens to Duke, Kentucky, Michigan State, Arizona, and in hoops. So I'm not sure. And it's an issue. It's a problem.
So I don't know. This would be the first year in a long time, I guess, North Carolina will not probably be in the
there's no way
NCAA tournament unless there's they make no some way. Kind of crazy run in the ACC tournament. But
there's we'll only see what that, happens. There's no way that they're making that could they would not. The only reason they'd make the NIT is because they're a draw.
Right.
They're losing at home to Boston. It's shit that's happened. They lost to Clemson at home. It didn't happen like 59 years. Yeah. The first time ever. So they're breaking records, huge records in a negative on a negative.
The records
way.
You don't want to break.
Right. So I am one of the biggest Carolina fans out there. But next year obviously we need to be back in the Final Four or something like that. So
yeah, it's time for a coaching. North Carolina only gets a couple years like this.
Right.
Before.
Right.
Even Roy Williams is can't do it.
Even with all that equity he's built up.
So Webb. And Major League Baseball teams are in training camp right now, completely full in, not just pitchers and catchers. I think everybody's at doing the workouts now. Major League Baseball came out with some new playoff type scenarios that they're thinking about and working on. It's caught a lot of controversy. I've seen a couple things, maybe seven teams going into the playoffs instead of what's now five. The wild card games right now are just like one game. Play-ins, and they'd be three-game series. And they also talked a little bit about the number one seed getting a bye and then having some type of selection show like they do for March Madness, whereas a team, like if you're a higher seed, you get to pick who you would play in a playoff scenario. In other words, if you're the number two seed would go first and pick – okay, if they win, I'll play the number four seed or five seed that, and then it would go down the line, and teams would decide who to play. Any thoughts on the new Major League Baseball?
When I saw that part of it, I thought it was a joke. That way, that can't be serious. There's no way you're going to pick who you want to play. That doesn't work like that way. Sorry, no, that cannot be put into it. I do like the way the playoffs are now. Back in the day, there was only four teams, or how many teams are making the playoffs. You had to win your division or you're done. I do like the wild card. I like that they brought that in. I like the finale of it. It's one game. That's it. You know, and you got to kind of play. And it adds some drama and some strategy as to going up to the end of the season. Do I pitch my ace here? What if because if I don't win, then I'm not going to make the wild card. If I pitch him here and I win, I'm not going to have him for the wild card game. All that good stuff. So I mean, I don't know why. I don't know what they're. This is this. I wonder if this is a knee jerk reaction to how, football in general and the NBA has kind of opened and embraced sports gambling, and this is a way for Major League Baseball to generate some more ratings or eyeballs or whatever. But I don't think I'm a fan of any of those rules you just mentioned.
Right. Obviously, the reason they're talking about this is to get more viewership. There's no doubt about it.
Right.
And going down the stretch, and to if seven teams are making the playoffs instead of five. We've seen how much just the wild card has made going down a stretch. Way more teams are in it nowadays. Everybody's within a few games of that last playoff spot. So if they add a couple more, obviously would do this. But I'm gonna save the Major League Baseball the problem right now, Webb.
Okay, here we go. All right. Love it.
You want more viewers?
Right.
Be more gambler friendly. That's it. There's a reason we've talked about the XFL. Look, you should be able to go to a game or get on an app for any baseball game. If you should be sitting in a stadium with your iPad out or with your phone and your app, you should be able to bet on every pitch.
Yep.
Is this going to be a strike? Is it going to be a ball? Is it going to be a ground ball? A pop up? Is this going to be three up, three down? Is this inning going to be over under one run? Are the outs going to be strikeouts? You do that, you take care. Everybody be watching.
Yep.
You know, Major League Baseball is not big with the fantasy. Major League Baseball is not big with the gambling. Make it. You can bet on anything in baseball, and it's slow moving, so right. you got time to do it.
Time, right? And they're already motherfuckers are already cheating. What are you going to worry about the integrity of the game?
Right.
I mean, listen, they got to go to the Howard Stern school of broadcasting, man. Lesbians and strippers, that's ratings, dude. Come on, embrace the technology, embrace it. Like you said, you have everybody sitting there with their phone, like this dude. This is definitely going to be a fastball, you know?
Right. We mentioned it earlier. NFL's got a vice president of sports betting. Well, guess what? You know why? Because that is.
But they're smart.
What makes it exciting? That's why people, man, NFL is not awesome because a game against the Colts and the Bengals is awesome. Right. The NFL is awesome because of fantasy football and gambling. That's why people watch it. That's why the ratings are out the roof. That's why the XFL did great this week.
That's why there's other leagues. Exactly. That's exactly right. That's why the XFL even has a shot. Fucking game. Yeah, exactly. Yeah, no. Yeah. How many times we're on there on a Thursday night? Like, geez, this game sucks. Right. But you know what? I'm watching. You know why? I got some fucking action.
Right. Right. Watching a Tuesday night MAC conference football game with Miami of Ohio against Akron. But it's every game's a Super Bowl when you got the money on it. Like, we're sitting at a baseball game, Webb, me, you, and the boys, and we're betting on whether after the end of the inning the ball rolls back and lands on the mound or not.
Home rules. Yep.
Right.
Yep. Yeah,
I mean, that's what keeps. Otherwise, why did you sit there for 4 hours for a baseball game? Hey. It's not your team.
Yep.
One out of 162.
Right. For 4 hours. Right. For four fucking hours. Backward.
Major League Baseball. We talked a little bit about the cheating and stuff like that. I don't know how much more we want to go into that, but there are more repercussions coming down the line. They got this pitcher to pitch for the Blue Jays, Mike Bolsinger, and I guess his last outing was against the Astros this year, and he got clobbered. So he's saying, before he got sent out of the major leagues, he's basically saying, look, this cheating ass team, they cost me my paycheck, my living. You know, same thing if you're rookie of the year, MVP, and one of the guys, maybe Altuve, I guess, did he get MVP? Stole it from other dudes. That's big money stuff. And not only that, but these guys that put up these big numbers for the Astros, if they got some big contract, why wouldn't you have some type of repercussions moving forward? If some Astro guy gets signed over you and you weren't doing this stuff, I mean, I think they have legitimate beef here. I don't know if anything's ever going to come of it, but I think, there's big money deals made on these stats. And if any sport is statistic driven, it's baseball. And if you're putting up better stats than the other guys, I mean, by cheating, I don't know.
Well, that's first. I mean, it's unquantifiable. I get it what you're saying, and I understand what this guy did. I don't know how they could quantify and say, well, if he wasn't, these guys weren't stealing signs, he wouldn't have gotten a hit or whatever it was. But you're right about baseball being stat. I mean, they invented metrics and analytics or whatever all that shit is. Billy Beane, they made a movie about the guy, how he did it. I mean, again, it's an issue. It's definitely a black eye for baseball. Then we also, the guy on the A's, we sent a story that, I guess the dude's on the A's now. He's a second base. His name is Long. He got called up in, I guess, 17 in September to the Astros. And the first, he said immediately, dudes came to him and said, hey, man, this is what we're doing. Do you want in on this? And he said no. He said he didn't want to do it. He would said he was swinging. He wanted to see what he, you know, if what he could be in the big leagues type shit. He was brought up because he was swinging the bat well down at AAA, so he actually turned it down. But that just tells you how far-reaching and
it was, how it was open it whole was. Whole organization,
right? Like I just how this is what we're doing. You know, right. was like, you know, it's almost like the mob.
this is how we're moving forward. This is our right. this is our strategy right. moving forward.
This is a business model, right? So like as soon as the dude got there, they were on him. So he did say that there was no. You know, it was they asked him, he said no. And that was kind of the end of it type thing. So there was no, you know, pressure to, you know, be complicit. But I don't know, man, that's just still bizarre. And then the thing, too, like we're saying, like the thing with Joey Cora, how the dude was like the major player in that and then turned it, rolled that into, you know, a
manager.
World Series champion winning manager. And he was a toast of the town for a while. Like every story, this guy came from nowhere, blah, blah, blah. What a great guy, you know, crazy success story. So it's definitely tainted and it definitely leaves a bad taste in everybody's mouths. But, you know, at the end of the day, what can you really do about it that you can, you know, with any certainty, how could you tell?
Right. So it's obviously the it's yet to be seen how far this goes. I think Major League Baseball probably just hopes, look, let's get to the season already.
Right.
This is one of those things he's going to talk about all off season. Every time you see an Astros player, every time you see anything with the Astros, they're going to be talking about it. I'm sure Major League Baseball is like, let's just start playing ball. Let's just start playing ball already.
And let's have the Astros not make the playoffs and
move on.
Yeah.
Or have them make the playoffs under scrutiny.
Right, exactly.
Have them win the whole thing
right.
and go, okay, look, it wasn't that, obviously it wasn't that big of a deal.
Right. It's not that big of an advantage. Yeah. That you're probably right there. That's probably the best thing. You have them go and, right under the microscope. Dusty Baker taking everything old school baseball, 110%, you know.
Right. So just one last thing I wanted to throw out there. I did get a free lunch this week, Webb. Sharon bought lunch with her winnings from picking orange Gatorade in the Super Bowl. Wink, wink. Trivia question possibility. Orange was her pick. And I did get a free lunch. She did buy lunch the other day. All of a sudden, she said, I'm going to buy this with my winnings. So I did get something out of that.
I was talking about that funny, that great story with somebody actually yesterday, I think. So that's awesome. Another thing, wink, wink, Smith. I would like to see who we picked to win the Super Bowl back in, I don't know when, August, when I was in the garage. Talk about the studio when we do every 10 seconds the train came by.
The good old days.
And then I want to see who we picked to win the NHL Stanley Cup and also the NBA. I think I know the answers to those, but
you'll have to brush me up. I don't even remember who or if we picked anybody to win the NHL or NBA, but we'll
we did. I think we'll we did. I don't know if we said who. Yeah, I think we did.
Well, I'll be working on that this week to get the questions together. We can get. We'll have to figure out a time when Nick and Chad and Mike can come on the show.
Do you have a favorite? Do you have a favorite out of that?
Not a hope, an odds-on favorite. I believe Chad Arnold is probably the favorite. Maybe we'll put a money line on this, and we'll put a money line. Me and you could put a little waiver. I just know Chad listens all the time. He's in his car with the Uber doing work. I know his daughters and his wife are on here. And I know they listen a lot, and I know he chimes in on the stuff that we say.
The more some of the obscure stuff too. Yep, gotcha. Yeah, I would lean. I don't know. I think I just know how Lynch is. He can get once he gets something in his craw there. You know, he's similar to all Mike's idiosyncrasies. It could be an asset in this, similar to what I thought would help Jameis. You know, but now it's
right.
Yeah.
Only you called Jameis's stupidity. You called
Michael
Mike idiosyncrasies
on this, I think.
Right. I know Mike is probably in training right now. I think he's got one episode in each year coming in right now
that he's trying to listen to as much as he
called us from the gym the other day. He's like, man, I'm listening.
Exactly.
What's the next show?
That's what I'm saying.
So he's in training. So you guys, Nick, and anybody else who's out there, I know Brad Bohannon mentions our show to me all the time, things he heard, things we should do. Todd Lewis, if you think you're in the top three, let us know. We'll be happy to have you on, and you can be part. We'll have four or five people on here.
Yeah,
Marty Johnson.
We don't have to limit it. We'll have to make some pretty quick first round chops.
Maybe elimination or something.
Yeah.
We're gonna get some stuff together. That's gonna be a fun show. It might be the next show or the one after that, but we'll have to see when we can get everybody together. But I'm gonna try and chop this up, get it out to you by Saturday afternoon. At worst, this show will be out Sunday. And don't forget to check Scott Wheatley's picks. You can check those on our Facebook. Webb, anything else? Are we going to roll it out? I know you got bring Devin to soccer.
Got soccer here. Yeah, I got to get her dressed up and get out of here. No, I did want to give some of my man T-Bones yesterday. That's who I was talking about, where our episode with when Sharon won the money on the Green Gator. We talked about how we brought the psychic
orange Gatorade. The psychic had the green, yellow. Right? We want to make sure we're not – all right, go ahead.
Right, we don't, no misinformation out right. there. Right? So, and I'm going to give him a shot. I've seen him in a while. I miss him. And I'm going to see – he hooked me up with some sweet golf clubs. Going to get a golf trip coming up, so I want to thank him sweet. For that. That's about it, man.
All right, what up, T-Bone? All right, I can hear the beads and glitter and wigs starting to rustle around back here. I'm going to get going. I got to bring Sharon to the float. John Groh, thank you for the bumper music. Keep an eye out. He's got a new single out. You Do It. And iHeartRadio, TuneIn Radio, Google Play Music, Apple, Podbean, Spotify, Stitcher. Check us out on SportsWatchMonitor.com, Facebook, The Wager Maker Podcast, Twitter, at The Wager Makers, Instagram, The Wager Makers. Send us an email at TheWagerMakers@gmail.com. And Devin is going to let us know about YouTube.
Hi, this is Devin Weber. When you go on The Wager Makers Podcast webpage, make sure to subscribe, hit the like button, and hit the bell to put on your post notifications. Thank you.
All right, thanks, Devin.
Thanks, Debbie. Brick by brick, Smith. And everyone out there, remember, we are for sale. Any sponsorship or opportunities, please don't hesitate.
Definitely. Webb, hey, everybody, thank you for listening. We'll be back again this Mardi Gras week. It's maybe a little choppy episode here and episode there, but we'll get them out. We can't wait to keep doing this. We got had a lot of stuff to talk about today, and it's not even football season. It's kind of in between. It's NBA All-Star break, and we still had plenty to talk about. So keep listening. Hey, tell some friends, man. We got to get this thing going. Share us on Facebook. Share our Twitter. Check out our picks on Instagram and Twitter all the time. Webb, take us out.
Take us out. Listen to you, Debbie, baby. Everybody subscribe on YouTube. Brick by brick. The only way we're going to do it. Thanks for listening.